This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Christy Landwehr from Aurora, Colorado, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 18th, episode 1545. This episode is brought to you by the Certified Horsemanship Association. Good morning, horse world.
Houston, we have a problem.
Ability equals skill plus knowledge.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Here's a safety tip for you from the Certified Horsemanship Association.
Missed it by that much.
How can I change this to make it better the next time?
Help you, I can. Yes.
Time for Training Tuesday on Horses in the Morning with the Certified Horsemanship Association.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you being here. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Glenn. How is everything in fabulous Florida?
Well, I didn't mention this yesterday, but I am at my new workstation here in the studio.
Ooh, fancy.
I got one of those pop-up desks. You know, it's the kind that sit on top of your desk, and then it goes up and down so you can work standing.
Oh, I like that.
So I am now standing up to do the shows, which is much better because it keeps you more awake and aware, especially when we're like today when we're recording about five different shows. So now I did learn I'm out of shape. I did learn that after yesterday standing up a lot of the day is that I was really sore this morning. It's amazing how just standing up can make you sore.
Yes, isn't that sad that us desk lit people like, I agree.
But that's why I did it. Jennifer actually went to, she got a whole desk. Her desk is just up all the time. And she went to that about 2 weeks ago and really liked it. And, you know, you just, when you sit at a desk as long as we do, you get sick of sitting.
Boy, now you're making me wonder, huh? I wonder if I could do a 128 Excel spreadsheet budget standing up. I wonder if that's doable. I'll have to try.
How many days does that take?
I don't know if you can do math standing. Yeah, at least I can't.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. That's the wrong side of my brain. I think I need to sit and rest.
Jennifer, yeah. You can't do math sitting. So there's that.
Hey.
But I'm liking it so far. I stood up for all the shows yesterday. And now the problem I've got is we have about four different computers to make the morning show work. And half of them are on the table that's the part of the desk that's up, and the other half are down. So if I sound like this, like I'm doing this, it's because I'm trying to go to the other computer and do something. So I got to get used to that yet. The mic does not move with me.
It just sounds like you go to warp speed for a second and then you come back.
I'm going.
That's what it is.
And I'm back. So if I miss cues or, you know, if the sound doesn't get played or I miss putting a guest on, that's why. I'm getting used to the new situation.
I'll say, Glenn, sit back down.
And what's nice about this is it goes up and down really easy. And I have two monitors on it. And so, you know, it's fairly heavy with the monitors on it and it goes up and down. It has hydraulics. It's really cool.
I'm thinking it's time for a photo on Facebook.
We'll have to do that. We'll have to put a photo up of my new situation here in the studio. Me getting fit, standing up.
No, I don't know if I want to have you calling it your new situation. No, that's the wrong word. How about your new office space?
Yes, my new studio arrangement. Is that better? Yeah. Studio arrangement.
Ooh, studio arrangement.
Yeah, I like that much better.
You can say you're feng shui now. That's, you know.
Christy really feng doesn't shui. Want to talk about this. Jennifer, what's on today's show?
Coming up on today's Certified Horsemanship Association Tuesday, we're heading out to associate with some associations, starting with NRHA Commissioner Gary Carpenter, and then after the networking song break, Executive VP of the AQHA, Craig Huffhines joins us to continue our chat about how and why association membership should be part of your business plan. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Well, you know, we are going to be talking a little bit about associations today. And of course, Christy, you work for one. And you know, it's funny because the American Horse Counsels Association, I just talked to our friend Julie over there yesterday. So, you know, we all are involved with, if not directly, if we're not directly a member of associations, we, if you show in this country, you certainly are involved in associations in some way or another.
Yes, absolutely you are. You know, the Discipline and Breed Associations, that's why we're having my wonderful mentor and friends on today. These two gentlemen have kind of guided me along my path because I've always worked for associations. That's kind of what I've done. So it's neat. You know, and I looked up, I Googled association and I got many definitions. So I want to share them with you all because I find it kind of fascinating. We think we know these words and then we look them up and we go, oh, maybe we don't. So the first definition of association is a group of people organized for a joint purpose, which I think is what we all know. The second definition, a connection or cooperative link between people or organizations.
Sometimes the cooperative is
a
thought.
That's what suffers.
It's a good thought. Yeah.
Very much so. Yes. Yeah. It, all depending on your board, all depending on your committees, all depending on your members. Yes. And then the last one, a mental connection between ideas or things.
A mental connection.
Yes.
Wait, do you have to pay dues for that?
I don't know. That's what I'm wondering. Maybe it's very cerebral, so you don't have to bother with that. That might be okay.
That sounds like something that only Vulcans have. That's a Vulcan.
Yeah, right. That's a...
might be. Only those Star Trekkie people have that one going on.
So now you're obviously with the Certified Horsemanship Association, and when that was originally what year was that? I know you weren't there, but what year was that was originally formed?
Yes, thank you for noting that I'm not there.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that.
Sometimes people go, "Oh, did you found this association?" I go, "No, that was 49 years ago. I'm not quite that old yet.
No. I was a baby, and
was not going to work. So no, it was actually we're going to be in our 50th anniversary next year, and I'll tell you a lot of really exciting things happened in kind of the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Quarter Horse, which is coming up soon, they just had their 75th. You have a lot of other groups, Intercollegiate Horse Show Associations having their 50th, Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship, which used to be NARA, is having their 50th. I mean, there's just a bunch of things. It's interesting what was going on about 50 years ago where people went, huh, we need to all form together and believe in this common cause. I don't know, it was a movement. Because a lot of the associations are turning the big 5-0.
And you know, that was kind of in the, even back then, that was kind of even in the height of maybe Ray Hunt. It was in the pre-natural horsemanship time even.
It definitely was.
Yeah, so there wasn't a lot around to try and organize training and things like that. We were just coming out of the time when military was the main people showing in shows.
Very true.
You know, it was a much different time back then. So the fact that this association was formed at the time it was is kind of amazing.
It is. And I'll tell you, associations have a lot of ebb and flows. We're getting ready for our 50th. So we're going to do something every month, you know, on our monthly e-newsletter. We're going to do something every month on Facebook, all kinds of things next year, starting in January. So we've been kind of compiling it and putting it all together now. And did you know that CHA was at one point on somebody's kitchen table in Michigan?
Oh, really? That's where they ran it out of?
Association.
With the typewriter?
Everything.
Probably.
Isn't that crazy? So, you know, it's had a lot of ebb and flows during its time, and, you know, it's changed its name. We kept our acronym, but changed the name. It used to be Camp Horsemanship Association because it was primarily camps, and now 40% are still camps, but 60% are instructors that travel around or have their own barn, so the name changed.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
So all these things that occur within an association, and it's fun to see the ebb and flows. And, you know, members cause that. I mean, that's why members make things happen. You know, and I don't know if we all understand that a membership-driven organization, your vote and what you say really does matter.
I've got a question for you.
Absolutely.
The CHA has been around for a long time, and there have been other groups, associations, for the purposes of this conversation, who have come and gone over the years that attempt to quantify the skill set of a riding professional or an equestrian professional, certify in some way, shape, or form for the public, so that the public can go, so-and-so has a approval from group X, so I know what they know. But the CHA is the largest and by far the most active as far as things that you see them do and things like that. What do you think the CHA has done to make that happen, whereas other groups have either disappeared altogether or never really thrived?
Yeah, Jen, that's a really good question that I think all associations should try to answer. But I think our...
Exactly, because all associations, if they're thriving, they're doing something, and whether or not you certify auto mechanics or riding instructors.
Well, I agree. And I'm going to go off topic for a second, but I promise I'll come back. I think a lot of times we get, told, oh, well, we don't have any competition. I'm not saying CHA. I'm just saying organizations in general. Yes, we do. It's called competition because your members are doing something else. They're either in another sport, or they're, joining another association, or they're involved in hiking or doing something on the weekends and not riding a horse, right? So we all have competition. We can't say that we don't. So from that perspective, I think what CHA's done really well is we've been very broad-based. We say we respect all breeds. We respect all disciplines. There is no wrong breed to start learning how to ride on. There is no wrong discipline to get you started on this journey. Let's just go. And we've been very non-judging in that way. And so I'll tell you, unlike some board meetings and annual membership meetings of associations that I've been involved in that can be incredibly painful, CHA's has not been, because we don't have an agenda. We believe in safe horsemanship, and who would fight you on that? So I think that broad base has been helpful.
This association is the exact opposite of the election this year. You are the anti-election. You are the place to go that's safe.
CHA, the kinder, gentler.
The kinder, gentler association.
We should be the third party.
That's right.
The third party.
That's right.
Elect Christy Landwehr for president.
Or maybe you guys could just train the politicians.
Well, they want a woman, right, Jen?
There we go.
Maybe you could just train the politicians. Maybe that could be a branch of it. Training the politicians to be more kind and through horses.
At least we can publicly speak train them, please. That wasn't correct. That was actually pretty funny. We can train them on how to publicly speak correctly. How about that? I'll fix that.
There we go.
That's funny. But it's true. Right. I've been familiar with many associations. There's a couple right now that we won't mention the names of, that you get more than two people in a room and you have disagreement, right? So it's hard to have an association that doesn't have the infighting and the bickering, because people are people. And it doesn't matter how virtuistic they are, or what they, what the end goal is, they still have different ways of getting there, and it can be tough at times, and that's hard to manage. You have a tough job, actually, maybe not so tough with the CHA, but I meant, the presidents of associations or the directors of associations have a tough job, because not only do you have to deal with the members, you have to deal with the board, who all have different opinions.
Oh, I would say without a doubt. And, even CHA, that I sound like I make it all, unicorns and rainbows. Sometimes it's not. It's called, you don't talk about politics, religion, or, for example, bits and bidding at the dinner table when you're in the horse world.
Yeah, that's right.
So we'll talk about, we should do an article. We'll talk about Tom Thumb and Kimberwicks and all these other fabulous bits that we get. Oh, I hate that one. Oh, you can't mention that one at all. That's hideous. It's like, oh boy, never mind. We won't do that article. Never mind.
It is true about bits, though. You're right. Politics, religion, and bits.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Can't go down that road, because then you're going to have the people that are bitless. Oh, no, all bitless. Or, oh, hackamore only. Or, oh, I just ride my rope halter. Oh, boy. It's like, oh, boy. Okay, we'll just be quiet now.
But both of these candidates that we have running for president could probably use the bicycle chain bit. Maybe that'd be a good one.
Double twisted wire snaffle.
That's it. That's right.
Shame on you two. Shame on you.
That's a funny article right there.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, geez. What were we talking about?
What bit would your favorite political candidate like to have?
What bit would your representative wear?
Well, Well, and I think with that being said, this leads us directly into what you found, Glenn, because I was cracking up with this list of randomness. And then we can talk about, you know, the serious ones that we belong to. But some of the associations that are out there, there is an association for everything. And
there
everything is.
And, you know, it ties directly in. What was the old name of the CHA?
Camp Horsemanship Association.
There is an association of camp nurses.
There you go.
Now, that's very specific. And how many of them are there in the country?
Which probably means
there's an association of school nurses, right? Because every school has a nurse. So there's probably an association for that. But I found some other ones, too. How about, and some of these you'll have to guess what they are, and I'll see how close you get. This one's pretty clear. The Association of Gravestone Studies.
Ooh, good time of year for that one.
What?
Yeah, no, that I gotta tell you, and Jennifer knows my weird sort of fascination with not necessarily with gravestones, but with cemeteries. I love photographing cemeteries. You can get some of the coolest pictures in cemeteries of the gravestones with the lighting and stuff. I know, it's kind of morbid. The Association for Pet Obesity Prevention.
Ooh.
Not that I would have to join that association because my pony is thin and trim and looking good
fit.
Now. He's fit. He's looking good. I wouldn't say fit, but he's not as fat. So, but you know what? There are a few of our listeners who probably could be there because of their dogs or horses. The Pet Obesity Prevention Association. Do you think they have many members? Because the people I know with fat pets, like my parents used to have the fattest dogs because of all the people treats, they really didn't think they had a problem. So,
no, they're in denial.
Yeah, so that association's going to be kind of lacking membership, isn't it?
You would think.
Yeah. How about, this is another one lacking membership, because it takes this to want to see that you need to join an association, and that's the National Association for Self-Esteem.
Oh, boy.
Now, you have to have some self-esteem to join an association and go to a meeting about self-esteem.
I would think so.
Right?
Boy, I want to know what their meetings are like.
Very quiet.
I don't know.
They're very quiet meetings.
Perhaps.
Everybody,
perhaps.
You know how they're all sitting in a room facing each other? At the self-esteem meeting, they sit facing out.
They might.
Yes. That's what they do at the self-esteem meeting. How about the Association for Professional Basketball Research?
Oh, you research basketball.
I guess. I thought this... There's a lot of...
Basketball research?
There's a lot of stats on basketball, isn't there? So, I mean, you really wouldn't need that. How about the International Association of Youth Hypnotists? Again...
Oh, I didn't know there was kid hypnotists.
Oh, how many kid hypnotists are there? So that's another good question. How many kid hypnotists are there?
Well, I'm going to tell my boys about that one. They might be interested.
How about the this is a good one. I'm going to join this one. The American Association of Candy Technologists.
Ooh, very fancy name.
Yeah. And then there's the Association for Dressings and Sauces.
They're all French.
Yeah. It's a very sloppy meeting.
The Thousand Island belongs to that, and the ranches people belong to that. Oh, that's fascinating.
Yes, yes. I wonder if they have, you know how you have breakout sessions at your conventions? I wonder if they have breakout sessions, you know, ranch over here, Thousand Island over here, oil and
ketchup
vinegar.
Ketchup goes into the basement.
Yeah, ketchup's by himself. They're in the basement. How about the strangest conventions? And I had to put the first one on this list, and all the listeners will know that BronyCon has to be the first on the list. That's the My Little Pony convention. So, yeah. And then there's the National Hobo Convention.
Oh?
I didn't know there were that many left, but apparently they get together. A lot of trains at that one.
Big train.
Yep, they all come in by train. Sunburst Celebrity Impersonators Convention. Apparently, this gets thousands of people every year, and they're all celebrity impersonators. Now, if you're going to go to a convention for the entertainment value, that's a good one.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that would be kind of fun, actually. We ought to cover that one.
Now, is Christie's for the light entertainment on awards evening? You need to contact that association and get yourself some impersonators.
You know, that's a really good idea.
It would liven up
our awards banquet.
Yes, they would. They could give out awards. You could have Elvis and, you know, who
knows?
You could
have Elvis be the MC.
Yes, you could have Elvis be the MC. But there's some bad Elvis impersonators, though. Let's see where this is. It's got to be Colorado. This convention has to be in Colorado, don't you think?
I don't know if I appreciate that comment. I don't know.
Having just been in Colorado, contact and location. Okay, here we go. It is, they don't tell you anywhere on it where it is. It's a secret.
It's a where, secret
where
society.
This is. Yeah, it's a secret.
Professional celebrity impersonators.
Apparently. I don't know. I don't have any idea. Don't you love it when they actually have an annual convention and they don't put anywhere on the homepage where it is?
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
No, it's August 30th through September 3rd in 2017. That's all I can tell you. I don't know where it is.
Well, you know what they need? They need to belong to the Association of Event Coordinators, yes. And then they would know what to do.
That's right.
Then they would know what to do. You're a problem solver, Christy.
Yes,
that's
you
what
are.
I love about you.
See? Hey, I have two here for you to figure out. There's Murfest, M-E-R-Fest, Murfest. Guess?
Like the Mercat?
Well, you would think that, but no. This is the Mermaids Convention.
Oh.
You know, for nice. All the mermaids out there. And then there's the Pork Fest. P-O-R, not what you think either. Not P-O-R-K, P-O-R-C, the Pork Fest.
Porcupine.
You're close, actually. It's the 13th annual Porcupine Freedom Festival, and it is a libertarian event in, like, Vermont. Where they all get together and have a wild time. My guess is there's a little pot smoking going on.
And it's spiky.
Yes, it's very spiky.
It's Burning Man, but colder.
Exactly. It's a cold Burning Man. And then their ultimate one, if you want to go for the spectacle, and this is in Pennsylvania, you go to the Sideshow Gathering. It's a gathering of sideshow circus performers.
There you go.
The fat lady, the hairy lady, the sword swallowers, the smallest pony. We got suckered into that one at the York Fair once. And what they did is world's smallest horse. You went in and it was a raised platform and you looked down on a mini. So it made it look small, but it was just a mini. But you because you were looking down on it, it looked tiny. So yeah, we paid $1 for that. So there's my fun little tidbits for the day.
Well, I think those are good. But you know what? Sometimes you join things for like a real purpose, Glenn. Do you want to hear? I'm kind of a joiner. Do you want to hear all the different things I've been a part of? I know you do. Hey, guess what? This is my show. I'm going to tell you whether you want to know or not. Okay.
Yes.
So,
give him the pitch.
No, I don't want it.
Convince Glenn. Give him the pitch.
Yes. So this is the deal. So everybody, why you join associations is not just for, you know, the pleasure of getting to meet other people, but it's the altruism of the mission, of course, but that it's also the networking and the getting involved and the being a part of everything. So I have not been just part of horse organizations, by the way. I think your church is also an association, and I happen to be the only horseback riding instructor at my church. So guess who gets some clients from that? Just saying, right? So you got to kind of think outside the box. I belong to a group called Optimist International, and I help them every year with their Brain Bowl. They have middle school kids that get together and do kind of I play Alex Trebek for them, and we do questions and answers and things like that, and they can win scholarship money to college. Very fun. And from that perspective, I get to practice my public speaking skills, get to practice saying the big words that are on the script, you know, stuff like that.
So is there a fine, like $1 if you say something negative at a meeting?
Oh, I don't know about a fine. I think that you should, you know, have
or is
to
that too negative
in the corner. Will that be too negative at the Optimist Club?
Okay, sorry.
Gosh, you're so ornery.
Sorry.
Okay. So now, for those of you listening, you should also, horse folks, join your state or provincial horse council. These are the people that lobby for you in your state, make sure that trails stay open, make sure that things like in Fullerton, we had 26 mile of trail. We had to share it with mountain bikers. So we would belong to the Fullerton Recreational Riders and the California State Horsemen's Association. And we go to their meetings and we'd say, can we please have separate trails for the mountain bikers right next to the horseback riders, so that the mountain bikers don't run us over. And you know what? As park funding came in, they created these trails for us.
On a serious note, I do want to say that next year we are looking at, thanks to the help of a certain friend of ours, we are looking at doing more, doing special episodes about state association or state horse councils. So actually discussing and going on a more local level. So doing a special episode, like you have a great horse council in Colorado, doing a Colorado one, doing a Florida one with the horse councils that are very active. There are some states that they're not so active, but so we're looking at doing more work on that and getting a little more local for special episodes.
See, I love that. And maybe the shows that you create makes the horse council more active. You never know.
Well, and that's true. And that's, you know, that's obviously the goal. And I do believe in being part of the local horse council because they do a lot of work, you know, locally with trails and things like that as well. So it affects all of us.
Absolutely. And American Horse Council is kind of the umbrella of those guys. I belong to them. And then American Horse Publications. This is where the horse publishers get together.
And I have to say, you know, I haven't belonged to many associations in my lifetime. And that's just because I think Jennifer and I have been so busy. We've always had our own businesses and we've always been just swamped with not having enough help. So it kind of sounds like now. But I do belong to the AHP, and I went for the first time to their convention last year, and I will never miss it again. It was so valuable, and I didn't realize that before. So that was a mistake I've made for the last 7 years, is not belonging to that.
Yes, because I'll tell you, they are really good. You can find freelancers through them for those that are interested in that. If you are a freelancer, it's a great way to get the word out. All the editors, all the photographers. And I'll tell you, you never know who you're going to meet through these things. I belong to American Youth Horse Council. And because of American Youth Horse Council, I met Ward Stutz, which is why we got very involved with the American Quarter Horse Association through CHA. And actually, the AHP thing, it's funny you should bring that up because our first guest today won their wonderful coveted award this last year.
Now I know who he is.
Yes, the Industry Vision Award. Gary won that. So, and he'll be our very first guest on today. So lots of good things can happen through associations, whether or not they're horse related, you know, just to kind of get out of your comfort zone a bit and develop your own skills or meet others or benefit your own business or on and on and on.
What's the name of the one, and I know a lot, and I can't remember the name of it right now, the one that's for learning how to speak better in public?
Toastmasters.
Yes, thank you. Didn't you belong to Toastmasters, or am I making that up?
You know, no, I didn't, but I've known many people who have gone to Toastmasters.
Too.
Boy, it's helped them. I'll tell you what's scary about Toastmasters, though, is they actually record the number of ums and ahs and other kind
I'd
of filler
out.
Words that you say. And they sit there, they click the button and look at you and stare at you as you're saying them. I wouldn't like that very much.
I say all right too much. That's because I have to listen to myself so much because we're editing the shows. I do a lot less ums now, but I say all right a lot. And I'm trying to cut back on my all rights. That's my one guilty word.
Mine is absolutely.
Yeah, you say that a lot, but see, that's a very positive word.
Yes.
And I use all right as a transition word. Instead of just starting into the next thing, I use all right. And everybody has these little words that they use, especially with what we do. Ums are used to form your thought. You're thinking about what you're going to do next. I use all right for that. But you use absolutely sort of as an exclamation point onto a sentence. So I don't think that's quite as annoying as all right or is.
Well, I appreciate that. But I also think sometimes we just have to have silence. Silence is golden.
Not on radio. It makes people nervous.
Well, not on radio. That's a good point, actually. They go, are you out?
Yeah. Uh-oh. It makes people very nervous, and I start getting messages on here on Facebook. You're off the air. So, that's not good.
Well, that's why we say absolutely and a lot. See, that's our excuse, Glenn. Now we're good. We have a reason.
I have one that I just want to mention quick, and then we'll get to our first guest. So I belong to the Florida Podcasters Association. It's been one of the best things I've done. Now, the opportunity to be involved in podcasting associations hasn't been around for very long because there just weren't any. So 2 years ago, when I found out there actually was a Florida one, it's still pretty small. I get together now. Their meetings are a couple hours away, so I go once a quarter. I have met so many friends in the podcasting world and been able to help a lot of people too because I do a lot of talks there because we kind of are leading the way in podcasting, in all podcasting, not just horses, but in the podcast world. So I've gotten to know so many people and made so many good friends. Our editor, Neil, who does the editing of our shows now, I met through the Florida Podcasters Association. He is anything but horsey. He grew up in L.A. He is a city boy through and through, and he does all our editing now and has never made a mistake. I mean, he does a great job. So you'd never know who you're going to meet. You're absolutely right. I think that's the biggest reason, in my mind, that's the thing you can get out of it the most.
I agree. Yeah. And you never know where those relationships will take you in the future. So with that being said, this is a gentleman that I have known for a really long time throughout my journey. He's known me since I graduated from college. So Gary Carpenter, who is currently the commissioner for the National Reining Horse Association, I think one of the reasons why he won that Equine Industry Vision Award through American Horse Publications is because he has been involved in so many breeds and disciplines throughout our industry. He has been the executive director of the American Association of Equine Practitioners for the veterinarians. Also, he's had executive positions with the Jockey Club, the American Quarter Horse Association, and the Arabian Horse Trust. And he was also very, very involved with Colorado State University here in Fort Collins with their equine science program. So, Gary, it is a pleasure to have you on the show today. How are you?
I'm great, Christy. Wonderful to talk to you.
Here, well, I thought he got that award just because he was good looking. Apparently, there was more to it than that.
It's a combination.
Oh, okay.
Fortunately, there is no confirmation component to that award.
Way to tie horses in there, Gary.
I warned him it was a morning show.
I can't help it.
Good job. You're hired.
So, Gary, where are you today? You travel so much. Where are we catching you this morning?
I'm actually back in the great state of Oklahoma. I haven't been in Columbus, Ohio last week for the Quarter Horse Congress. I had a great reining there. A real resurgence with the reining at the Quarter Horse Congress, and then had some meetings in Kentucky after that, and I don't leave again until 3 o'clock this afternoon.
It's constant, isn't it? You get a lot of freaking flyer miles, though.
Yeah, you do, and it seems like sometimes you, as many places as you go, there's that many more that you need to go, and so that's why it's so important to prioritize and have a good strategic plan and at least try to tie everything you do back to that plan.
I agree. And you know what? We didn't get a chance in our first half hour to talk about something that I think is so huge. And that's just, you know, we have all these reasons for joining things and all of that, but it truly is benefits, very specific benefits. And a benefit to one person might be something totally different than a benefit to another. So, Gary, I know that you've worked for a ton of different associations, but what ones have you been a member of and why?
Well, I was just thinking about that in preparation for talking to you and Glenn this morning. And of course, life member of the American Quarter Horse Association, member of the American Paint Horse Association, NRHA, sort of goes without saying. And then, you know, it's tough to admit, but member of AARP. But the one that's a hard one to get.
But that's
get
a big
out.
Association.
Well, it's a big association. The one I use the most, I would say probably in my professional life, is the American Society of Association Executives. Tremendous resources for association executives and for board members and just for associations in general, and probably not nearly well known enough in the horse community, because the fact is, you know, we all love horses. We all like to ride, but these associations are about the people that belong. I've never had a horse pay dues.
Funny how that works.
They're just tied that way.
And didn't you go down a road with the ASAE, the American Society of Association Execs, to become a certified association executive for them? What does that mean?
I did that about, I suppose it's been 20 years ago now, and I really did it more I mean, just because you're a CAE doesn't mean you're any better or worse than the next person in the field, but it just means that you're interested in your continuing education and your growth as a professional, and you're dedicated to pursuing that throughout your career. You have to be recertified every 4 years. It really has paid off for me. It probably caused me to read and study in some fields that I might not have otherwise. So a very valuable investment.
We have a Colorado Society of Association Execs, and I know a lot of the states have that. For those that are listening that want to find out a little bit more about them, I know our CSAE here in Colorado has a monthly lunch that you can go to, a really fun holiday party, just all kinds of things where you can meet others. And boy, I've picked up a ton of fun public speaking tips from their keynoters. Their keynoters are out of the box and super fun. And so that's been really beneficial. So good idea. Glenn, I appreciate that.
So now
that.
I know your secret. I thought it was your TV background, but now I know your secret, Christy.
Oh, Gary, TV is incredibly boring and dull. They want you to stand there with the mic and just be blah, blah, talking.
Can you say that again? Can you say that again? Can you say it this way?
Yeah, so you have to do it in 58 and a half seconds because the commercial is coming up, Christy. You're talking too long.
Yes, sir. See, yeah. That's why we give her an hour and a half here, Gary, because she can't do it in an hour. We had to go longer.
No, keep it simple does not work for me. Let's go on and on and on. Way more fun. I'm also sitting here talking with my hands right now. You can see me. Absolutely. That's how we do that.
Of course. Of course.
Gary, I got an interesting question. See, the topic is associations today. We were just talking about the fact that we belong to associations outside the horse world, too, and how beneficial that is. Are all I know that we've had this discussion many times on the show about associations within the horse world trying to attract new members and trying to get more people into horses, period. But are associations mm-hmm. outside the horse world having trouble with membership? Is joining an association, no matter what it is it becoming less of a thing? Are people not doing it as much all across the board, or is this a horse thing?
Well, here's the trend. There's this thing, we have in Oklahoma and several other places called the internet.
Yeah, that little
and,
thing.
That little thing. And it is really sort of turned the association world on its head, because the resources that people used to access by going to a meeting a lot of times are right there at your desk. So what to me has always been the most valuable at those meetings is really the networking. The information has almost become a commodity, but it's the networking. Like you were talking with about the podcasting group, the people you meet, ideas that you share, that is what the real value is. And that human connection is I think even more valuable today with so much going digital.
I would agree with you 100%, Gary. You know, I think that there's still something about looking somebody in the eye, shaking their hand, giving them that hug, being a part of something together.
I would argue that it's even more important today, and it's the reason that we are spending money traveling probably more than we ever have, is because that human connection, we get more done at the events we go to, and this is why Gary's traveling all the time. I think it's become even more important because people have less interaction in person. I think the interaction you do have in person is more valuable than it used to be. And I could be wrong about that.
No, I would agree with that 100%. And so in terms of maximizing your benefits, if your association has an annual meeting or meetings, you need to go. If you're going to sign up and suit up, you need to show up. And I would recommend that for anyone. First of all, decide what your goals are. Why did you join? What do you hope to accomplish? What do you want from them? And then once you've figured that out, determine what you can contribute to that association, because it's in your contributions to them that you will receive the greatest reward. That may sound inside out, but when you participate, when you get involved, that's when your growth and awareness and edification really starts.
And I'm going to throw in an example here, Gary, of a non-horse function. I'm going to go back to just a church group again or something along those lines. When my family first joined our church, we literally just sat in the congregation. That's what we did because that's all we knew. Mm-hmm. And then pretty soon I'm like, oh, I like singing. Maybe I'll join the choir. Pretty soon John's like, my husband, oh, I like being the sound guy. I think I'll be the sound guy. Pretty soon my boys were like, well, we're not just going to sit here in the congregation by ourselves. We'll acolyte and we'll be a part of all this. Mm-hmm. And boy, it's been much more fun. Much more fun.
Well, it makes all the difference in the world. It hadn't been that very long ago, Marion and I were, you know, everything from serving on the boards of our church, which I always say serving on the board of a church, it's either the most spiritual or the least spiritual thing you can do. But, you know, doing that, being treasurer, teaching Sunday school, maybe shoveling the snow off the walk in the morning or whatever it takes, but that really enriches the experience. And really, when I served on the board of the church, you know, I used to get these funny looks, but there's a lot of similarities between serving on and being involved in a church and being involved in an association, because it's all about what you contribute.
Can I talk a little bit about the Reining Horse Association? You worked for many different associations, including the vets and all of that. So with the Reining Horse Association, you're really, unless I'm wrong, but it seems like reining is just taking off across the board, even in para, and it just seems like I'm seeing a lot more about reining than I did in the past. So either I'm right about that, or you're doing a darn good job in PR, one or the other.
I think you're right about the growth. We're very fortunate. The Congress where I just returned from, they're probably going to have to add 2 days because they were up 330 entries, and so you don't want to keep people up in the middle of the night. The High Roller Show in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago, same sort of phenomenon. So there's lots of growth out there in our industry. In terms of NRHA and our benefits, we're primarily a competition organization, and we were really founded to improve the judging, the footing, and the purses. And, we try to stay focused on those three, but there are lots of other places to serve and lots of other needs in the industry that we participate in as well.
So what do you attribute the growth in reining in general to?
Well, I think our competitors, our participants will tell you, number one, it's fun. Number two, we have a very interesting, unique culture in our industry of helping, competitors helping one another. And I think part of it is because, you know, everyone's had trouble with a lead change, or everyone's gone off pattern, or everyone's wanted to stop just a little bit more smoothly. And so they all know what that's like, and they're very willing to share their advice. And it's something we're so, if you could put it on a balance sheet, it would be one of our greatest assets.
So, the English riders that are listening now would say, oh, and they win a lot of money, because the English riders don't. So I think that was the other thing that the English riders would say. The English riders don't have that $1 million club, $2 million club. They don't have that. This doesn't exist over on the English side. So you got that going for you.
Well, that's true. And, you know, worldwide, we sanction about 900 shows, and the total purse given out at NRHA events is up to about $14 million. So there's some money out there to win. But, yeah, but I'll, you know, our... lots of good friends that are involved reining, obviously, and know the sport from the professional side as well. But, you know, most of the people involved are weekend people that love their horse and just want to have fun doing it. And that's part of the reason we built the connection with CHA, because we figure after they walk, trot, and lope, and they want more of a challenge from that level, then maybe they'll come talk to us. That's our hope.
And I'll tell you, Glenn, NRHA has been great. This is going to be the third year that they've brought their rider reiner to our international conference that I'm leaving for on an airplane at 10:30 today. So I beat you, Gary, but for the conference. And but Ride a Rainer is just a great program. The very first time I saw it was actually at the World Equestrian Games in Lexington. And I went, wow, these trainers are so wonderful to bring in their quality horses, their quality tack, and to put these people up on them and give them basically a free experience. And I'll tell you, then you're hooked. It's like test driving a car, right? You test drive a Ferrari. If you only had the money, you'd buy one. We all would. We want to go that fast. So you test ride a spin or you test ride a slide stop and you go, really?
Oh, I might want to. Was the most entertaining thing I saw at the entire World Equestrian Games. I stood there for 2 hours and watched English riders try and rein, and it was hilarious. It was just funny.
Stop pitching with your knee.
Yeah, or they don't know a thing about putting feet out. You know, they're just it's just was funny to watch and them almost go over the top every time.
But I think the programs like that are just so good. You know, it gets people involved and it gets people going, oh, I might have to try this out. So kudos to you all for doing that. And thanks for always coming to our event. We have Andrew Fox is coming this week to us and we're just thrilled to have him. It'll be great.
Good. Good. And I believe Haley Everly from our staff will be down there as well. So I'm actually envious. I've been invited, but always another trip, Christy. So
I know, we're always
second
fiddle.
Don't give up on me.
Gary, oh, I'm not going to give up
on you.
I'm like that annoying, barking, yapping dog that keeps bugging you at your feet and nipping your heels until finally I get my way. So don't worry about it. It's just a matter of time. I'm patient.
I wouldn't describe you that way at all.
Yeah, I know how you describe me. All right, that's an inside joke. So, I have one more question for you, Gary. When a person first joins an association, and I know you had said about going to the annual meeting, are there other steps that they need to do to navigate the benefits? I think sometimes it's overwhelming when you first join. What are kind of some of your guidelines for folks?
Well, we've lost this fine art in America called reading. That's where I would start. Really understand the benefits. And if you don't understand them, which I get that, I know why you might not, because we tend to write for ourselves. If you don't understand them, pick up the phone and talk to one of their staff members and just kind of get them to take you through why other people participate, because there may be things that you can access through an association that aren't even the reason you joined, but come along with the package.
Very true. And I think that that's great how you said the fine art of reading is gone. That's why I think these membership associations, we need to create more video. Let's go ahead and have a video of how to navigate our membership benefits and then have the video up for people to go, oh, I never knew that existed. Oh, really? I can do that? So I think that there's a lot of things
both
sides.
Yep. Video, radio, podcasts, all the above, because people are busy and they're always moving. And if that's the way they need to access the information, that's what they need to do.
So, Gary, how can people find you and contact you and find out more about NRHA?
Just go to NRHA.com. It's all there, including our phone number. Give me a call. Welcome to talk to anybody about the sport of reining, about our rules, about our growth, about where we're headed, and hope that people will take that opportunity.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on today. I so appreciate it. This is a topic that's near and dear to my heart, having made a career out of it, and also just from the standpoint of being a joiner and belonging to a lot of organizations and meeting great folks like you because of it. So thank you for being on today, Gary.
Thank you, Christy. Thank you, Glenn. Look forward to meeting you, Glenn, and best wishes with have a great conference down in Tennessee.
Thanks, Gary.
All right, thank you.
All right, you want to take a break for a song, and then we're going to come back with another guest. We go from the Reining Association, the Reining Horse Association, over to the Quarter Horse Association. That's an association that a few of our listeners are familiar with, I bet. So we're going to do that in just a minute. But first, how about a little I'm Gonna Fly from Casey Smith? We'll be right back.
I've always been the shy and quiet type, biding my time until the time was right. driving through life with one foot on the brake. Missed every chance that I did not take. Now I'm gonna do whatever I please. No, nothing's gonna have a hold on me. Somebody bring a tattoo here or there. Maybe some crazy thing. Not gonna be afraid. I'll stand up straight and tall. Made up my mind, I'm gonna do it all. I'm gonna do whatever I please. Yeah, no, nothing's gonna have a hold on.
That was Casey Smith. You can find all of her music at caseysmith.com, and that's spelled with a K. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. It is the CHA show, and we have Christy here. She's here once a month. We do this the third Tuesday of every month, and it's hard to believe it's the third Tuesday of October already. Well, Christy Rosie said that why can't people like Christy run for president? It's because they're too smart to do that.
Rosie, that's so nice.
They really don't want to run for president.
No, I must admit.
That's how we end up with who we end up with, is because the smart ones don't.
It'd be a tough job. And I also think you have to have a pretty big ego to want to be on the front of every paper and every newspaper. I just want more privacy. I couldn't even imagine never being able to go anywhere without Secret Service. I mean, just all the stuff they have to put up with. Oh,
how would
job.
You go to McDonald's for breakfast?
It'd be tough.
Well, we are going to, I totally lost my train of thought. What are we doing next? We're going to a guest. Jennifer's getting them on the line next. I just totally lost my train of thought. Remind everybody where they can find out about the CHA.
Absolutely. So you can go to chainstructors.com, and many different tabs at the top. You can find out about our benefits, since we are talking about association benefits today. There is actually a video of somebody talking about benefits on there, as well as reading them for those that still like to read, as Gary alluded to earlier. And lots of ways to get involved, whether you're an instructor, a barn manager, or a horse owner, or just wanting to find out safety, or wanting to find out where to find an instructor are near you, many different things for folks to be able to start that journey.
Very good. And the other thing that I wanted to mention is that, and I wanted to put a bug in your listeners' ears here, the people listening for the Certified Horsemanship Association show, is we are only 6 weeks away from the second annual holiday radiothon here on the Horse Radio Network, 12 hours live on Cyber Monday. So we would love for everybody to join us. Christy, we need to work out a time for you to be calling in and doing your thing. So we'll chat about that, but we'd love for everybody to join us that day. I wanted to mention that by this Friday, we're going to be announcing what a lot of the prizes are. We finalized a lot of them yesterday. We're going to have a grand prize at the end of the day worth over $1,200 in prizes. So the person who wins that's going to have a very nice Christmas with a lot of cool stuff. So we have a lot going on for the Radiothon. We're booking our big guests, and you need to, the way you can win the prizes, and we'll be giving the prizes away every hour on the hour. The way you can win the prizes is to enter by sending us a voicemail, and we'll have instructions for how to do that by calling in a voicemail or sending us a voicemail, either a holiday wish or sing a song, make up your own song, a poem, whatever, something clever. And we had some very fun ones last year. Or calling in that day and saying hi to us and talking a little bit about the holidays. Our theme this year is your fantasy ride. If you could ride any horse in the world from the past, from history or present, who would that be? If you could ride any horse in the world on Christmas Day, who would that be? So that's kind of our question of the year. We thought that was kind of fun. The auditors picked that. And so you'll have to think about that too, Christy.
I was going to say, can the host answer? How fun.
Yes, I have mine already. I have mine prepared. Mine was kind of easy, actually. I don't ride, but I drive, so that'll give you a clue.
I can think of a few. I'm going to have to put some thought into this. How exciting.
I know. Isn't that a good question, though? And the listeners came up with that. We were looking for a theme. Like last year, what was your favorite holiday? You know, what was your favorite equestrian holiday? So, you know, we couldn't do that again this year. So that's how we came up with your fantasy ride. And I think that's gonna be interesting to see. Now, we hope all of them aren't Velegro. You know that,
right? I hope it's a variety of choices.
I don't think you know, a lot of us don't do dressage, so I don't think all of them will be Velegro. And I also did want to mention, this is what I wanted to mention, our guest wrangler Denise said that we have a para reiner coming on the Western show next Tuesday, a week from today. So we'll hear from a para reiner that day. We just were talking about reining, so there we go.
Very good. Such a wide variety. You know how you were just talking about how you can't believe it's already the third Tuesday of the month.
Yes, of October. This year's almost
the
over.
Show that makes my life go so fast. I think, really? It's already radio show time? And then when you just said the holiday thon, I'm like, really? It's already been a year?
Yes. It's been a year, and we do that, and we're going to be doing that every Cyber Monday, which is the Monday after Thanksgiving. And when we really were starting to get down to the nitty-gritty planning, because it's a lot to plan for 12 hours live on the air, we realized that we only have 6 weeks. So,
yes, yeah. Coming up so quick.
There'll be some overtime in my future here coming up.
Oh,
well, our next guest is ready.
Well, I am so excited to introduce this gentleman. Craig Huffhines used to work at the American Hereford Association. He was the director of feedlot and carcass programs and also the director of the Certified Hereford Beef. And then he's been doing it for over a year. Talk about time going quickly. He's now the executive vice president of the American Quarter Horse Association. And he and his sons and his wife all now live in Amarillo, which of course is where AQHA is headquartered. So good morning, Craig. How are you?
Well, good morning, Christy. I'm doing great. And Glenn, howdy. Halloween's around the corner, I understand.
That's what we hear rumor of. That's why you have to join the Association of Graveyards or something,
yes,
according
that's right.
to Glenn.
That's right.
What he talked about earlier.
People are dying to get in.
That's right.
Sorry, I had to do it. It was there.
Funny.
I had to do it.
You had to do it. You had an opening.
It was there.
So, Craig, are you in Amarillo today? Where are you currently?
I am. I spent a little time at the All-American Congress in Columbus last week. Did a little 4-H project with my youngest son at the Texas State Fair over the weekend, and I'm back in town here in Amarillo, where the temperature is going to be about mid-90s here in mid-October.
Oof. Can I ask you real quick? We haven't talked about it hardly at all, and that is Congress. So tell us a little bit about what your impressions of Congress were this year.
Well, first and foremost, the numbers are up. The entry numbers are up significantly. I think the Rainers were up not quite double, but at least 80% from a year ago. I think what's happening at the All-American Congress is the investments that the state, city, and local governments have put into the facilities are really beginning to pay off. They built a new barn last year. Attaquan sponsors that barn, one of our great sponsors. They put a new exhibit hall in last year. And so the creature comforts that are expected from our equestrian exhibitors are being met. And so there's a lot of excitement. It's a tremendous trade show. And so I left before the weekend, but I understand the weekend traffic was just remarkable. And we're hearing from our membership that it's very upbeat. The industry seems to be very upbeat, even during an election year. People are excited to get out with their horses and do their thing in the pens. So it was a great experience for me.
Well, I'll tell you, that show, I think the first time I went to that, I was in absolute awe. I mean, it's huge. It's absolutely a huge show. And it's a wonderful, like you said, lots of energy, lots of enthusiasm, which is so good. And, you know, Craig, I mentioned who you have worked for as far as associations, but what associations have you personally been a member of? And are there any interesting ones, let's say, during college or any other time growing up that really stand out to you?
Well, you know, as a kid growing up in agriculture, you know, we were all involved in 4-H and FFA and, you know, the leadership and the adults that I met, you know, as a kid growing up had a huge influence on my career path and my interest. Then heading into college, you put your head down and you eke by on a slim budget trying to get your education behind you and onto a career path. And so you don't really think much about, it's kind of that black hole where those college kids go that we tend to lose sometimes in our organizations. And then you come out of it and you become a member of your alumni association. And then you get yourself involved in a career path and into industry. And you become a diehard member of your industry associations. And so National Cattlemen's Beef Association was a big one for me, and, you know, several other organizations that supported either through science or economics, you know, the beef cattle industry that I spent most of my career until I moved to AQHA here recently. So, yeah, you know, those areas that tend to mold you and that tend to influence you, where you find your mentors, they're so incredibly important, you know, to young people and to adults.
Can I just throw in, though, Craig, you're the only one I've ever met that had carcass on their business card as part of their title. So I'm just throwing that in there.
I knew you were not going to
just okay. Your title was what was? Let me see here. It was Director of Feedlot and Carcass Programs. Now, when you're at a bar, if you were single and somebody asked, would you say no? You would say, I work for an association. And when they asked which one, you would something up. You would just not want to even go there.
You know, thankfully, when I took that job, I was already married. So I didn't have to
That's a good
that thing.
That's a darn good thing.
Yeah.
Thank
so
you,
that's
Mary John.
That's right. Thank you, Mary John, my lovely bride. You know, it's kind of the industry I was in. You know, people don't like to know how their sausage is made, and so, you know, that was one of those career positions I had that, you know, you didn't want to really get into detail.
No.
People just want to know they can go buy a great steak somewhere, right?
That's right. I don't want to know what happens after. That's all I need to know right there. Yep.
That's right.
Kind of
that's
a thankless right. job you had there.
Yeah, that's right. No, it was an interesting time in my life. You know, when you're in the food industry, there's a lot of those kind of jobs that you don't really want to explain to your neighbors in the cul-de-sac party. But it moved me up into the ranks at the American Hereford Association, which is a membership organization of cattlemen. and you know, providing services and the like of that. And that's kind of what led me here to the Equine industry. And so, you know, we take those jobs when we get them. And young people today, you know, it's amazing the talent that's out there of our young people that, that are coming into our industry that I'm just mind-boggled at how they learn and how they enter into the business.
Everyone's journey is a little different, isn't it? The journey is kind of, you know, you go down one road and then suddenly you're like, this door closes and you get really depressed and sad. Well, I don't like this. The door closed, but then a window's going to open. So you go through that, right? And you go down a different path and it's okay. I mean, I was technically supposed to be a television anchor woman. Yeah, that didn't go that way. And that's okay. And it, in hindsight, you know, it's like Garth Brooks, unanswered prayer song that he sings, right? Sometimes we have to be very, very happy that a certain direction doesn't happen, because how much fun is it now to work with the horse industry, Craig, and it's so much fun to have you as a part of it. So I have a question for you. What benefits do you think are most important in a membership association overall? There's so many different benefits anymore. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, the very first thing that comes to mind on that, Christy, is, you know, you're getting involved in a community, a community of folks who appreciate a great breed of cattle that began about 75 years ago, and the things in which we involved this horse, so, you know, in terms of competition, in terms of recreational parts of our lives, it's an incredible community of people with diverse interests. And so the first thing you think of is, if I join the American Quarter Horse Association, what does that mean? Well, you're going to get involved with a lot of people that have similar interests and diverse interests from what you have. The second thing is services. You know, does the organization have services that can benefit me, that will some form or fashion align me with the organization, create loyalty to the association? And so, you know, at AQHA, we have all these events. We have recreational riding, trail riding. You've been involved with us, Christy, on a big trail ride out in Missouri where we brought folks in and had a trail challenge, a little competition. And so those people were really family-oriented, a little bit different part of our membership, but just wanted to have a good time riding the horse. And, you know, they had some benefit by being a part of AQHA. And then you have all these other areas, where whether you want to be involved in racing or reining or cutting or just all-around showing. And there's these communities of people that you engage with and involve and compete with that just enrich your life. And so, you know, at the end of the day, it's about enriching your life. And you know, I think that's what AQHA provides to what nearly a quarter of a million people globally, is a place that they can hang their hat and engage people with similar interests.
I agree. And it is so much fun to get together and do things like that trail challenge. I mean, we actually went through a real river. There wasn't just this fake tarp down for people to go through. We were actually out there doing that and being a part of that.
That's right.
And that's what's so good about it, is that there's so many different things to do. And, you know, I think sometimes people misinterpret sometimes what an association is, and they get a very much, oh, well, that they just do this. So kind of looking in and seeing the different avenues that different associations do and finding your niche and kind of running with that, I think is a great idea. And I know Gary had talked a little bit about when a person first joins an association, what steps should they do? So Craig, what are your thoughts about if a person, once they're in it for a while, what are some steps to keep them engaged? What are some ways to keep them being involved year after year?
Well, it starts with their purpose, and you know, there's all different levels of involvement and engagement and investment in our equine world. And so, you know, the first thing you want to try to do is find their sweet spot. Some folks are going to invest a lot more than the average member, and they're going to compete at a very high level. But there's all kinds of ranges, from what we call level one or novices, that can come into an event. I'll take, for example, a ranch riding program. Without the need of a trainer, without this very expensive equipment, they can take their ranch horse or their best friend and learn something about equine equestrian skill set that they can actually use in their backyard and their trail riding and compete at a level that works for them, that's not too competitive. It's kind of just fits their little niche, and they can track their progress over time. And so, you know, part of what we try to do is you know, find entry points for people to get involved. And then when they get to the level they've been around a while, we try to get them involved in the leadership part of our business and come to convention, come to educational seminars, involve yourself in committees and the like of that, where, you know, they're actually playing a part in the governance of our industry. And so they can go as far that way as they would like as well. So there's just several entry points. And if you want to go to the racing side of our business, quarter horse racing, you can get as aggressive as you want at investing in a rush when those guys bolt out that gate in the fastest 20 seconds on earth, quarter of a mile. And, you know, you can invest heavily in that business like many of our people do. So there's all these different entry points, and you have to just find that sweet spot.
And Craig, I think that's so true. When I first started with Quarter Horse, I literally became a member because I owned quarter horses that I taught lessons on. And I wanted them, because they were registered, I wanted to be a part of that membership association of whom I bought registered horses from. So I transferred their ownership and I got involved that way. And then once that happened, then I was like, oh, maybe I should become a professional horseman. You know, I am kind of teaching in the industry. Sure. I use a ton of quarter horses. So then I went down that road. And then that opened up avenues of being able to do things like coming out and helping with that competition that you mentioned earlier in Missouri. And then I kind of was like, the convention. I'm going to go and see what their convention is all about. And then that opened up doors to becoming part of the voting. And the coolest way, Glenn, that they had last year to vote, we actually did it with little pads on our lap. So it was instantaneous. And there was one vote that was so incredibly close. And Craig looks at the back of the room and asks the lady running the board, could you please give us, instead of percentages, the exact number? And then we could see that out of, I don't even know, 700 some odd people in the room, there was like two or three votes in one way or the other for that issue. So, I mean, just cool technology that you learn and you just get to be a part of all of that. So that was fun as well.
We might be going through that a month from now, in a couple of weeks, actually, with the national election, two or three votes difference.
So, could be.
Might be the same way.
It's going to be those dangling chads.
Yeah, again. We'll be back to Florida, my home state, counting
flashbacks.
Chads.
Flashbacks. So, Craig, what are some new initiatives on the horizon for AQHA? What are some new and exciting programs that you'd like to chat about today?
Well, I think there's a couple of them that I'd like to mention. You know, the bulk of our membership are predominantly recreational riders. You know, about 50% of our membership are recreational riders. And so we're working on some technology that's already out there to develop an app for our horseback riding program. And you know a lot about this, Christy. Our horseback riding program allows our member to go and track how much time they're spending on their horse, you know, how many hours are logging, how much distance. And they've been doing that over the years, you know, the last 15 or 20 years, you know, by mailing in a log, a journal. And so what we're really wanting to do is use this GPS technology and develop an app that's specific to our quarter horse members' horseback riding program, where they can track, you know, the time they're spending on the horse, the speed at which they're operating, you know, they're moving, you know, maybe some things on horse healthfulness, you know, how their horse is getting along, and just really creating a real time journal for how they're spending time with their horse. And of course, at the end of the year, we have different awards for people that log so many hours, and we recognize folks for the time they spend, and that's kind of fun. The other thing is youth. I mean, we are really investing in our youth program and, you know, across all of athletics. I think you may have talked about this in the past, but I think there was an article in Sports Illustrated last year that really talked about the declining numbers of young people getting involved in organized sports. And that's not just in organized sports. It's across youth activities. And so we're challenged with a new generation of young people who have a lot of different interests. And how do we engage them in our industry? And so we're putting together a team of people to sit down and discuss that and look at levels of engagement where we can get, maybe they don't have to own a horse, You know, maybe they can borrow a horse, or lease a horse, or just find opportunities for them to get involved, you know, around the horse in equine activity. And so we're working in that area as well.
Well, and that's another thing, Craig. I just recently joined your marketing committee, and talk about another benefit for those that are listening to be involved in on a committee level brings it to a whole new thing. And it's not for people saying, like Glenn talked earlier about he and Jen being so busy, it's hard sometimes to join things. I'll tell you, you guys make it easy, because the marketing committee, of course, we meet annually at your conference, and it's always in fabulous places. Like it was Vegas last year. It's going to be San Antonio this March. So always really fun places. But then we do most everything else by email during the year, maybe a conference call. So it's not a huge time commitment. And your staff there, of course, I can't say enough about all of them and how they kind of keep us as volunteers engaged and feeling like we're a part of the big picture. And I think that you all do that very well.
Well, thank you for that. And I am proud of the staff here. And, you know, as far as an organization's concerned, that's our job, is to bring talent in and smart minds like your own. And hey, help us, you know, help us make this industry great. You know, what are the things that we can do collectively as an industry and as individuals who have an interest in horses, to get people involved and help, you know, help grow the industry. And so, you know, that's the job of the marketing program, the marketing department, and the committee, you know, that oversees activity in that.
I agree. So, Craig, if people want to find out more about you, contact you, and also AQHA, what are some different ways that they can do that?
Well, our website's the easiest way. You know, you can go to AQHA.com. My name is C. Huffines, H-U-F-F-H-I-N-E-S, at AQHA.org. They can find me there. And then, of course, you know, there's ways in which they can email questions and what have you on our website. But that's the best way to find out more about the American Quarter Horse Association.
Well, I so appreciate you being on the show today, Craig, and I'm sure our paths will cross again soon. I'm excited to have Lauren Walsh is going to be joining our board of directors soon for Certified Horsemanship. And of course, she is your director of marketing there. So we're thrilled to have her. And we're going to say goodbye at this current meeting here coming up this week in Tennessee to Ward Stutz, who's also been on our board for a long time, who, of course, is an executive there with your organization as well. So thank you for all that support, too.
Well, hey, it's our pleasure to loan out folks who are passionate about our industry to our allied industry groups. And, you know, CHA does a great job. As I mentioned, when y'all came to Amarillo last year, I believe, and you're the front runners, you're the gatekeepers to new interest to the equine industry. And we thank CHA and all they mean to us. And Glenn and Christy, thanks for having me today.
Thanks, Craig. Take care.
All righty. Thank you.
Well, while you were interviewing him, I asked the auditors what associations they belong to.
Oh, very good.
Either horsey or not. And do you want to hear some of the answers?
I would love that.
So Amanda belongs to the American Health Information Management Association, which I assume is work-related. otherwise, I don't know why you'd belong to that association. And she belongs to a lot of the little trail associations, and I know there's a lot of those around the country. Nicole, who's from Canada, belongs to the Ontario Equestrian Federation, the Equestrian Canada, which is their USEF, and the Human Resources Professional Association. Nice. Now, Nicole, can I mention that you're typing this while at work and you're the human resources person? So I'm just saying, baby. just saying, Nicole. Actually, Nicole is also, she did our report yesterday on the Charlotte Desjardins clinic she attended, and she will be our guest, our main guest on the Stable Scoop show this week. Sarah Thompson says the Carriage Association of America, which is a great one, the Purple Martin Conservation Association.
That's cool.
So there you go. That's different. She also belongs to the Southern Ohio Forge and Anvil Association, which is blacksmiths, and the Indiana Blacksmiths Association. So there's some different ones. Brenda throws in here about every dressage association you can join. And also the Quarter Horse Association, the Paint Horse Association, and the California Professional Horsemen's Association, and the Snafflebit Association. So she's got them all there. She shows a lot, is my guess. And then we have a lot of the USEF, of course, the Association of Writers and Writing Programs, and the Academy of American Poets.
Ooh, I like that.
That's a good one.
You have to get that person and on Sean's, and do poetry on the show.
Yeah, and that's right. And then Avery said, there's such a thing as non-horsey associations.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, there are. She belongs to the Sierra Club, which, of course, we all know, and then also belongs to the Solid Waste Association of North America. She runs a recycling program. Now, what do you think their conventions are like, the Solid Waste Association of North America? And where exactly are they held? That's what I want to know. We were in Vegas one time. Anytime you go to Vegas for a meeting or an association thing or whatever, a conference, there's always 12 other conferences, right? So Jennifer and I actually went on vacation the one time at the same time as the Concrete Workers National Meeting. And when you get in the elevator, I felt very inadequate as a man. Let me tell you what, because there were all these concrete workers and they were the size of trucks. And they were just thousands of these huge guys, because you're a concrete worker. You're not a little guy, right?
No.
And I felt very inadequate, I have to say. I did. Jennifer enjoyed it immensely. There was a lot of eye candy that week.
Yeah. Jeff is liking it. She's like, can we go back again at the same time next year? Are they having it here again?
But there's all these things you don't think about, right? And it would be fun to look at a complete list of the national conferences held in Vegas every year. It would be interesting.
Yes, yeah. Because I bet it brings out all kinds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. So it'd be interesting to see what else they comment on. There's some hero that I didn't expect, like Avery. I really didn't expect the Solid Waste Association of North America. I want to know if you've been to the conference. We want to hear all about it.
Yes, we do. We kind of want photos, but then that also frightens me a bit.
We talked about Purple Martins on one of the shows the other day, didn't we, Jennifer? About Purple Martins with the Disney people.
I think it was Purple Martins.
Yes, that's right, because Purple Martins, Disney has a conservation
thing. They live
in
the apartment houses.
They live in the white igloos.
Apartment houses.
Oh, they live in the apartment houses, that's right. And they had a lot of them at Disney, so when we did our Disney special, they talked about Purple Martins. How about that? Well, this has been interesting. That you come up with the most interesting topics.
Well, I like this one because it's very broad-based for everyone. You know, most of us do belong to something we think we should because of maybe reasons that aren't necessarily correct. Sometimes we have to kind of get out of our little box and go, I need a broader picture here. And then we go, oh, this is really going to benefit me in more ways than one and help the association. So then it's a win-win.
And Jessica just chimed in that she belongs to the Association of Pet Partners. It's a Delta Society for Therapy Dogs.
Oh. There you go.
See, who knew?
You can bring mini horses into that, too.
Yeah, who knew?
They're doing a lot more of that. Yep, and they put tennis shoes on them so that they don't go sliding across the hospital floors.
Yep. Well, Christy, where can people find out more about the CHA, and then we'll wrap up?
Thank you.
Oh, you're breaking up a little bit on us.
We'd love you to come to chainstructors.com. Sorry, come to chainstructors.com.
Very well. CHAinstructors.com. You can find all of the past episodes of the Certified Horsemanship Association show here on Horses in the Morning. Just go to horsesinthemorning.com and search for CHA or Certified Horsemanship. It'll bring up years of past episodes. And they're not timely. I mean, you can listen to any of these episodes. They're very educational. You can listen to them at any time. You could go back a couple of years if you want to. And of course, the easiest way to listen to our shows is on our app, iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network. Horses in the Morning is one of 10 different shows on the network. We, as you learned a couple weeks ago, we went over 5,000 episodes. So there's a lot for you to catch up on if you're a new listener. And we also will be here tomorrow morning. Jamie will be back. And we'll have a Wednesday show. We always have a health segment on Wednesdays, so that's a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Christy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Jen. Bye-bye.
All right. See you, everybody.